This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر
الحمد لله ثم الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونسترشده ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا صمدا لم يتخذ صاحبة ولا ولدا ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وأشهد أن نبينا وعظيمنا محمدا عبد الله ورسوله وصفيه من خلقه وحبيبه اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وبعد يقول جل جلاله في محكم التنزيل ومن الناس من يعبد الله على حرف فإن أصابه خير اطمأن به وإن أصابته فتنة انقلب على وجهه خسر الدنيا والآخرة ذلك هو الخسران المبين يدعو من دون الله ما لا يضره وما لا ينفعه ذلك هو الضلال البعيد يدعو لمن ضره أقرب من نفعه لبئس المولى ولبئس العشير إن الله يدخل الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار إن الله يفعل ما يريد من كان يظن أن لن ينصره الله في الدنيا والآخرة فليمدد بسبب إلى السماء ثم ليقطع فلينظر هل يذهبن كيده ما يغيظ وكذلك أنزلناه آيات بينات وأن الله يهدي من يريد.
Never in my life have I dreaded Jumu'ah.
Never have I not looked forward to a Friday. But recently, I wish Jum'ah was farther away because I don't know what to get up here and say anymore. Because I don't have words. My words are failing me. I don't know how to articulate what's going on and what we need to do. I just have nothing to say. And if you know me, you'll know that I fail in many things, but I always have something to say. But I can't figure out what to say. I don't know what it is that needs to be said at this moment, at this point. So I dread Jumu'ah and I wish it's farther away because I know I have to get up here and I have to say something comforting or I have to offer something of value and I don't know what that's going to look like anymore. I'm a third generation Canadian. I traveled a lot as a kid, but I'm a third generation and I don't feel Canadian right now. I don't feel like I belong to my own country. I don't feel like I matter. I don't feel like my voice has any impact. I don't feel like those who represent me represent anything to do with me at all. I feel neglected. I feel ignored. I feel like I am trash to them, that I am not someone important, that I'm only here because I have to be here. They don't want me here. They would like me to leave or to get in line and continue to use the propaganda that they seem to have convinced themselves and the world with. And that's an ugly, this is the second time in my life I've felt this. I'm running out of places to go. I have to find a place that will take me because my first country, the other country did the same thing. They actually kicked me out. They removed me. And now I'm here and I feel the same way. I feel exactly the same way. I don't feel safe. I don't feel heard. I don't feel like I matter anymore. And I think most of you feel the same way. And we are Canadians. And we have the right for our country. We have the right for the people who represent us in this country to consider us, to consider what we have to say, not to blacklist us for it, not to persecute us and put us under pressure, making us feel ashamed because we have an opinion that they don't seem to agree with. How do we call this a democracy if that's not the case? How are we any better than any third world country where the tyrants do whatever they want? How is this different? Wallahi, I can't seem to find it anymore. Like I'm trying to ask myself, how is this different? It's not different. It's not that different. Well, at least in the third world country, they were open about it. They would come and tell me, look, you don't get to say anything. You're a second class citizen, so deal with it. At least they were honest about it. But here, we're lacking this honesty piece. Either we do matter, and what we have to say is equal to what others have to say, and we are going to be listened to and heard and treated equally, and we don't have to fear for our jobs. Or fear for our livelihood because we have an opinion that doesn't seem to suit what the political climate of the world is. Either that's the case or come out and tell us otherwise. Just say it to my face. I'll respect you more. Honesty makes life so much easier. But this is not healthy for anyone. This is just not healthy. I'm going to share with you 5 points because I don't know else how else to give this khutbah or what to say. 5 points to consider. Number one, you must continue your advocacy. You have to continue whatever lane of advocacy you find yourself good at or you find yourself thriving in or you feel that matters. I know people will walk around telling you this is not the way or that's the way or there's another way. Look, no one knows what the exact right answer is right now. Do what it is that you feel is helpful. Within, obviously, the framework of the country that you live in. But advocacy has to continue. We cannot allow, yet again, it's not over yet, so I can't say this. If anything, today's probably the worst day in the last 20. I've never seen anything like it. I've never seen this carpet bombing occur before. I've never seen it, because whenever this happened, it wasn't documented on live news. It wasn't something that people could watch. It happened, you find out about it later. But this is really weird. They're just carpet bombing an extremely highly dense populated area all over, just going forward with it as if none of those people matter. When a reporter, as they're reporting the news, gets a phone call to be told that his family is dead, and he has to go on live news, bid his farewell to his wife and children. When you see a two-year-old in shock, they ever seen a, it's impossible. When you see it, you never forget it. When you see a two-year-old in shock, you'll never forget it. I saw it and see it, you'll never forget it. It will haunt you for the rest of your life. When you see these things, this is right there. It's happening right now. It's hard to understand. How is that not playing in anyone's decision-making process? Why is that okay? Why is it? It just makes no sense. Makes no sense. It makes no sense. You have to continue advocacy. Whatever lane you find, whether it's emailing political figures, whether it's emailing people of influence, whether it's letters, whether it's protests or whatever it may be, whatever it's with social media, I don't even know, whether it's lobbying of some sort, you have to continue advocacy. This has to, see what happens in these problems is that after a little bit of time, people get tired of it and it cools down. They bank on that. That's what the world banks on, that all you have to do is chronicize a problem. Just make it chronic. Just let it live out the two-week mark. Wallahi, there are studies to talk about this. It's a two-week mark. After the 2 weeks, people lose interest. That's our attention span today as human beings. 2 weeks, then we get bored. We want something new, something different. We can't afford. You have to continue advocating. If ever there was a hill to die on, this is it. If ever there is something worth your time, worth your effort, worth your energy, this is it. There's 2,000 million Muslims in the world. 7 million of them are North America. 900,000 are in Ontario, and 30,000 are in the city, 700 in this masjid, and then there's you. And then there's you. Do not underestimate the importance of what you do or what you are capable of doing. Do not underestimate the importance of your voice. لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ مِنَ الْمَعْرُوفِ شَيْئًا is what he said, alayhi salatu wasalam. Do not underestimate any act of ma'roof, any act of goodness, no matter how small it may be. And he would give you an example of smiling in someone's face. Do not underestimate the power of that. And do not underestimate the effect that you have and what it is that you can do. So I beg you, I plead with you, that you continue your advocacy. That if this is something that bothers you, that you make sure that it continues to do so. And that you continue to move forward with this. And once, inshallah, it stops and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to relieve their suffering today, now, on this minbar, now for it to end. That's what we hope for. And that's what we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant them. But even if it takes longer, if it doesn't, that advocacy must continue to the rest of your life. I don't think our generation will be forgiven if we want, after this all, we just go back to normal lifestyles. We just go back to, no. This has to be a turning. This is a turning point, in my opinion, in this country. I believe right now these are historical moments. Never before has something like this happened. Never before have I seen so many people lose their jobs, get fired, being removed from their position, being threatened by it, as I am seeing right now. I've never seen such movement in the opposite direction. We have built a little bit of a backbone, I have to say. I'm proud of my younger brothers and sisters. They have more courage than I do. But that backbone has to continue. And that advocacy has to move forward. In order for us to change the status quo, in order for the norm, the political norm of our country to change, that has to continue. And we have to be even better, even more organized. And we have to have better plans for the future. And we have to work harder on this. And you have to continue your advocacy. Number two, do not lose hope. You're not permitted Islamically to do so. Meaning you're not allowed. You're not allowed. You may want to. I sure have always wanted to, but you're not allowed. Islamically, you're not allowed. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُ مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ لَا يَقْنَطُ مِنْ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّهِ إِلَّا الضَّالُّونَ Only the disbelievers, only the misled will lose hope in the mercy and compassion of their Lord. You never lose hope. You see, it's in the midst of the darkest moments that the Prophet ﷺ extracted hope. He pulled hope out of the darkest moments, alayhi salatu wasalam. This is a hallmark of his character. On the day of Khandaq, when they were digging a trench because 10,000 people were marching to annihilate them and they only had 1,500 could bear arms, they dug a trench hoping that they could keep the other group across the trench and hoping that the people who owned the castles on the other side didn't open the doors and flood the gates. They were digging, and this was 15 days into the digging, and they were tired. And they were starving, and they were scared, and they couldn't seem, and they had lost their morale to the point where they were beat. And there was one big boulder they couldn't break, and it was big enough for a horse to jump on and come over the other side. It would be a very vulnerable point. They're whacking at it, it's not going away. They call him alayhi salatu wasalam. He's the leader. He doesn't come for a boulder. other people can do it. But some of the captains saw this and said, no, this is not the issue of a rock. There's something else going on here. So Ya Rasulullah, they're beat, they're brought down. So he came, alayhi salatu wasalam, and commanded for them to spray water on the rock, and he took the axe or the chisel, and he hit the rock, and a spark went flying. And he said, Allahu Akbar futihat faris. Praise be to Allah, you will one day conquer Persia. And the Muslims look around and say, we can't even go to the bathroom. I'm too scared to walk over there to go to the bathroom. Persia? Which Persia? The actual... He hits again, Allahu Akbar futihat al-mada'in. You're going to conquer Yemen one day. He hits it a third time, another spark goes up and it falls to pieces. Allahu Akbar futihat al-Rum. You will one day conquer the Roman Empire. From the midst of despair, he would extract hope, alayhi salatu wasalam. And they did. They did. He wasn't around for it, but they did. The same people who stood with him there, frightened, terrified, beaten, hungry, feeling weak, feeling targeted, the same people one day watched as the treasures of Kisra were brought to the feet of Umar ibn al-Khattab and the Masjid of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. They were there for Yarmouk, they were there for al-Mada, and they were there for these things. They witnessed these moments. The best person here is the one who projects the most hope amongst people around them. Not just by saying it as I am, because that's cheap. It's by doing things. It's by action. You bring hope when you show others that you're still alive. You still believe. There's a heart pounding in your chest and you still stand by what is righteous and you will never ever stop doing so. That brings hope. That brings hope. It's hopeful when you know that you're not standing alone. It's hopeful when you see others that are as committed, if not more, than yourself. That's how you bring hope. From those moments, alayhi salatu wasalam, he was walking once in Mecca with his daughter. One narration is Zainab, another narration is Fatima. I think it's Zainab because the timeline doesn't work. Fatima was too young. He's walking with Zainab, and he's talking to his daughter, they're holding hands, and a man would come up with he would take a handful of sand, and he would throw it right in the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's face. So he would stand there alayhi salatu wasalam, wiping the sand off his face and his beard, and his daughter starts to cry because it's a very humiliating moment for her to witness of her father. فقال يا بني لا تبكي, oh daughter, do not cry. فإن الله ناصر أباكي ولو بعد حين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will indeed grant your father success one day, even if it comes later. Don't worry, it'll come. It'll come. This is not our moment, but it'll come. It'll come. The reason he knew wasn't really a prophecy. These aren't prophecies. You can't really argue they are. We don't have revelation to support that. This was his confidence in what he believed in, and knowing that he would never stop. If you're relentless, if you're someone who doesn't lose hope and continues to move down the path that they know is correct and righteous, then you will prevail. You will prevail. It is the last ayah I read in these verses, مَنْ كَانَ يَظُنُّ. This ayah says, if you, whoever believes that Allah won't grant them victory after they strive all their lives, well, tell them to go hang themselves and see if that makes it better. It's a very harsh verse. Go hang yourself and die. See if that makes it better for you. What are you talking about? Of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant you success if you continue to strive. It'll come late. You may not be around for it. Yes, you may not be around for it. That should be okay with you. This is not about you or me, is it? Is it about me? Is it about me being able at one point to enjoy the glory of success? No, it isn't. It's about righteousness prevailing. So it may not happen during my lifetime. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. It never did. What matters is that righteousness prevails again, and that will happen. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you think that's not going to happen and that's how you're going by, then go. See if hanging yourself will make it better. Ajib, one of the most interesting, but very interesting ayah in the Quran. Number three, do not compromise your ethics or your values or your principles in the midst of all of this. It's easy to actually want to do that. It's very easy to want to stoop to the same low. Those who are in the mud, they want you down there with them. They want you down there to lose whatever ethic you have left, because that makes it all equal. It's all the same. We're all corrupt. So I'm a bit more corrupt than you. So what? So what? A little bit more corrupt doesn't make a difference. We're all corrupt. Do not compromise your ethics. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ عَلَىٰ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا. Never allow the hatred of another group of people to make you less objective or less just. The same surah. وَلَا يَجْرِمَنَّكُمْ شَنَآنُ قَوْمٍ أَنْ صَدُّوكُمْ عَنِ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ أَنْ تَعْتَدُوا. Don't let the fact that a group of people denied you access to the haram. This was the only law in Arabia that actually was followed. They had no political law. But there was one. No one is denied access from the haram. There was nothing you could do as a human being that would allow someone in Mecca to deny you the ability to enter the haram. That was a sacred law. And the Muslims at that time were denied and told, go back, you can't make umrah, in their ihram. Most of us don't understand the magnitude of that moment, of that being actually said. That's what the sahaba lost their minds. No, if you don't follow our law, fine, but that's your law. We all agreed on this one. No one can tell someone you're not allowed into the bait of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they were sent back, and Allah tells them, don't let the fact that they did that make you transgress. Do not allow their transgression to make you a transgressor. Never compromise your ethics or your values or your principles. I cannot emphasize that point enough, but there's no difference, really. It's a dispute. A dispute amongst a bunch of corrupt people. We have haqq. It's clear to us, the mazlama. Do not compromise your ethics and values. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم. استغفروه يغفر لكم يا فوز المستغفرين استغفر الله. الحمد لله وحده. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على من لا نبي بعده وعلى آله وصحبه. ومن اتبع نهجه ووفى عهده. إخواني وأخواتي، هناك أحوال في هذه الحياة تعجز الكلمات عن وصفها أو عن إيصال المشاعر المرتبطة بها أو حتى عن التعليق عليها. ولست ممن كان يعاني مع الكلمات، فالكلمات صاحباتي، أأنس بهن، أعود إليهن. إذا أنس الناس بالناس أنست بالكلمات وبمعانيها وبجمالها. أجد نفسي هذه الأيام أتخوف من يوم الجمعة ومن خطبة الجمعة، إذ فشلت الكلمات في إعانتي ولم تأتي إلى نجدتي، وهرعت إليها أسألها عن شيء أقوله، أسألها أن تركب من نفسها جملا أشارككم إياها فأعينكم، فعجزت ولم تأتني بالمفيد. واليوم أشارككم نصائح لا أدري إن كانت تسمن أو تغني من جوع أو لا، لكننا جميعا إذ نجلس أمام الشاشات نشاهد الإجرام الذي ينزل على رؤوس أولادنا وإخواننا وأخواتنا وذوينا، إذ نشاهد هذا الإجرام الذي تقرر العالم بشكل أو بآخر، بشكل لا أفهمه ولا أعيه صراحة اليوم، أن يدعوا الأمر وشأنه وأن يقولوا دماء هؤلاء لم تكن غالية أساسا فهي ليست غالية اليوم، فافعلوا ما شئتم فإننا لن نردعكم ولن نردكم، وليس بينهم من سيردعكم ولا من سيردكم، لأنهم جميعا اشتريناهم منذ زمن بعيد. وتهدم البيوت فوق رؤوس أصحابها، وينتشل الأطفال من تحت الركام، ويشاهد العالم. إخواني، نصائحي كالتالي. أمر الأول، لا ينبغي لك أن تتوقف عن دعمي ونصرة أهلنا المستضعفين في كل مكان، وخصوصا في الأرض المقدسة. لا ينبغي أن يتوقف هذا الدعم، لا اليوم ولا غدا ولا بعد 100 عام. وطالما فيك قلب ينبض ونفس يخرج ويدخل، وجب عليك أن تنصرهم بالذي تقدر عليه، بمالك، بقلمك، بلسانك، بعلاقاتك، بالذي تقدر على أن تقدمه. والله نحن غير معذورين أمام الله في هذه المسألة، نحن غير معذورين أمام الله في هذه القضية. أنا أؤكد لك هذه المسألة، لن نعذر أمام الله في هذه القضية إطلاقا. فوجب علينا في مثل هذه الأيام أن نقرر فيما بيننا وبين أنفسنا أن هذه القضية لن توضع على الرفوف مرة أخرى. لن نأخذها من الواقع الذي هو أمامنا ونضعها على الرفوف إذا ما هدأ الأمر. فتابع فيما استطعت من نصرتهم، ما وجدت إلى ذلك سبيلا. النقطة الأخرى، لا ينبغي لأحدنا أن ييأس، ولن أخوض في هذا الأمر، فالذي قرأ القرآن والذي لسانه لغة القرآن يعلم أنه لا يأس مع وجود الرب جل جلاله، طالما أن الله سبحانه وتعالى مطلع عليم حكيم، فما النصر إلا من عنده. ولا يجوز للمسلم، يكفر المسلم إذا يأس من روح ربه أو قنط من رحمته جل جلاله. نقطة الثالثة، لا تساوم في مبادئك ولا قيمك ولا أخلاقك. إن كان غيرك قد أخلدوا إلى الأرض وتخلصوا من أخلاقهم وتخلصوا من إنسانيتهم، فلا يجوز لك أن تفعل الأمر ذاته، فهذا الفرق ما بينك وبينهم. تذكر هذا جيدا، هذا ما أمر به النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام، أمر به أصحابه الكرام. My last two points, and I'll make them quick inshallah because it's taking too long. We must pull together. These are times for pulling together. These are times for dropping whatever divides us. Whatever grudges, whatever dislikes you have in your heart towards other people, this is the time for you to drop all that. All that is petty and meaningless. It doesn't add up to anything. We pull together during difficult times. It is an Islamic obligation. It's a lawful obligation of Islam that we not only act in a way where we bring our ummah together, but we work against those who divide, and we do what we can to remove that division. Because our strength is not in numbers. I know that we say that. It's not in numbers. Strength is in unity. Strength is in togetherness. That's what strength is in. He told us, alayhi salatu wasalam, he told us that, wallahi, I'm not making it up. He said, a day will come where you will be many. Well, there'll be a lot of you. And you will still be unsuccessful. You will be like the foam that exists on the ocean. There's a lot of it, but it's useless and it has no weight. And because you're disorganized and you're unprepared. Strength is in unity, in organization, in togetherness. Be a force of unity and togetherness in your community to the best of your ability. We must pull together. When it's hard, you have to pull together. If you don't, it's almost saying, I'm not going to go into that. Just don't. Just take it from me. Don't. When it's hard, you pull together. It's shameful when a family is under stress that they continue to quarrel over whatever they're fighting over. It's shameful. They have to come together. They have to forget about what they said to one another, and they come together when it's difficult, when someone passes away, when someone's ill. It's painful if they didn't. You wouldn't accept it. Yeah, I don't like you, don't like me, but I'm in pain right now. I'm dying. Not even now. No, it's shameful. We must pull together. And finally, reach out to people around you who may be struggling. This is a normal human affect. It's normal for people to find these times extremely challenging and to feel isolated and to feel alone and to feel scared and to feel targeted and confused. That is human. It's human to feel that way. Reach out to people and make sure that you offer them comfort. Utilize your social networks and strengthen yourself and the people around you with yourselves. It's a dark tunnel that we're walking down. It's very dark. Muslims always see the speck of light in it. No matter how dark it is, we always know that there's light at the end of it. Just keep on walking. It's pitch black, but you walk and you're scared. So you look around and find someone to hold their hand. So you walk together in the darkness, through the difficulty, because you know the light's at the end. It's coming. It's coming. It's always there. So reach out to those around you and look out for them and make sure you offer them whatever comfort they need, and comfort yourself as well. Because it's normal for you to suffer and to feel the pain of others. And I would expect nothing less. But no one's invincible, and no one can get through these times alone. So reach out and make sure you take care of people around you. Those are the five pieces of advice that I want to offer, for whatever they're worth. We will continue, inshallah, to talk about this issue, make dua for them, and advocate in every way possible. talk about all of the organized efforts that are happening. Recently, the chaplain at UWO got fired for making comments on something that he didn't agree with. So he was removed. So not only do our students at Western at this time feel targeted and unsafe because of what's going on, now they lost the only person who was actually standing with them. We have to point out these actions. We have to make sure that these actions, those who do these things are accountable for what they do. These things can't just pass. We shouldn't be bullied. We shouldn't allow ourselves to be bullied. And that requires us to continue advocacy and to be clear on what it is that we need to do in order for us to explain. We're not asking for anything but to be heard, for our opinions to matter, for there to be an equal playing ground for everyone who has something to say, for us not to be bullied out of our own opinions and our principles. And that's not too much to ask. It's even pathetic that we have to ask for it. It really is. But if that's where we are, then that's where we are. These are important moments in our history. Mark my words. How we behave, what we do, is being recorded. And one day will be talked about. So make sure you're involved in a meaningful manner. I hope that was of benefit to you. وَعَلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَنَا بِأَمْرٍ عَظِيمٍ فَقَالَ إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا صَلُّوا عَلَيْهِ وَسَلِّمُوا تَسْلِيمًا اللَّهُمَّ صَلِّ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا صَلَّيْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَبَارِكْ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِ مُحَمَّدٍ كَمَا بَارَكْتَ عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَعَلَى آلِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ فِي الْعَالَمِينَ إِنَّكَ حَمِيدٌ مَجِيدٌ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنِ الْأَرْبَعَةِ الْخُلَفَاءِ السَّادَةِ الْحُنَفَاءِ أَبِي بَكْرٍ وَعُمَرَ وَعُثْمَانَ وَعَلِيٍّ وَارْضَ اللَّهُمَّ عَنْ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ أمهات المؤمنين وعن آله الطيبين الطاهرين وعن صحابته الغر الميامين وعن التابعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وعنا معهم برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم فرج هموم المهمومين ونفس كروب المكروبين وارفع الغم عن المغمومين وارفع الظلم عن أهلنا في فلسطين اللهم احقن دماءهم اللهم احقن دماءهم اللهم تول أمورهم اللهم ارحم موتاهم اللهم اشف مرضاهم اللهم عاف مبتلاهم اللهم ارفع مقتك وغضبك عنا وعنهم اللهم خفف عنهم وطأتهم الوطأة التي نزلوا تحتها يا رب العالمين اللهم رد المسجد الأقصى إلى رحاب المسلمين أخرج الصهاينة منه أذلة صاغرين يا رب العالمين ردنا أجمعين إليك وإلى دينك ردا جميلا وتب علينا من جميع ذنوبنا توبة نصوحة طهرنا بها قلبا وجسدا وروحا وما ذلك عليك اللهم بعزيز ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون.